join us this week as we talk about all things from documentaries to Oops, What Did I Just Do? And Miami. Join us this week on the Curriculum Revision Committee. Hello, I'm George, formerly known as a senile lesbian comedian, fortune geezer.
Hello, my name is Samantha, and if you see a woman in a creepy painting longing for her long-lost husband across the war,
Jesus Christ. Today we find ourselves back in the boardroom to update...
Restate.
Resuscitate.
Agitate. You took my part.
And truncate the current academic curriculum. Kamala Harris is on notes today. Thank you, Vice President. It is appreciated.
Everyone's presence is noted. Welcome to the Curriculum Revision Committee.
We're back, much to everyone's dismay.
Yeah.
No one wanted this. In fact, we got multiple letters from federal and provincial to stop all actions immediately.
It's true.
But we're back. We look better. We sound better. And we are back ready to truncate, resuscitate.
Restate and whatever.
A lot of people were asking me what this is about.
Yes.
And I had to look at them and I said, okay, so we basically go in and we pitch things to add to the curriculum.
Yeah.
And their response was always, oh, so it's an academic show.
Yes, yes, you know what? And no. I really respect it. So I can't remember who in particular, but somebody told me, they were like, you know, this is really important because, like, we really do need to change the revision committee. Like, we need to change things. And she was like, yeah, that's a really important topic to, you know...
the children.
To go over. And I was like, I don't think you understand.
We're just talking. We're just talking. We have a story.
But yes, many people did complain, mainly because of the microphones, which...
Look, it's not my fault. I tried my darndest.
He tried.
Look, we're just going to go for a one mic situation. You have to understand, me and Samantha were impoverished.
It's true.
In fact, this is the only budget you're getting. There's nothing... If you knew what was holding up this camera, and if I told you it was a Queen Elizabeth...
It's true. It's true. She's calibrating currently. You're going to have to put a picture. You're going to have to take a picture of this and put it in the background. Because what I'm looking at right now, I don't think they understand.
This whole setup is one book perched... If there is an earthquake, an imbalance, we're all screwed.
If we breathe the wrong way, like, everything's falling over. I don't think you understand. If George's dog gets a hold of the door...
The door's not closed.
We're getting jumped on camera.
Okay.
Needless to say.
So we're going to start with the pitch.
Yes.
Cue pitch music. So it's me. Okay, I'm excited. I'm going to do this properly. Wait, don't look.
Okay.
I'm stressed. I'm going to cry.
I'm looking away.
Full screen, present. So, it's on the big screen. Shut up, it's like time. Welcome to the curriculum. Speaker today, George, the big one. So, such a mouthful. So, my presentation today, my pitch to the entire curriculum community is, yes, this really happened.
Wow.
So, I'm going to start. Have you met a child? If so, I am sorry.
It's true.
And this is a picture of not your expression. Now, the reason why this picture is here is because I couldn't change it. It got lost, so I just kept it. So, if you've met a child, I'm sorry. So, let's look at...
I'm so sorry.
Let's look at the problematic. So, issue one. Now, I've scoped the terrain. I've met children. I've met their parents. And I found many issues. The first issue, number one. Children often perceive the world as less threatening than adults. So they don't care. There's no sense of fear anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying to scare them. But they're not scared. And that scares me. Second issue. There is no way to ensure children grow up fun anymore. Because I have yet to meet a fun child. And there used to be. They used to do things.
Yes.
And I've yet to meet a fun child. And issue three. Children often struggle discerning between reality and fiction. So let's confuse them even more.
It's going somewhere,
I promise. So you have to understand my mental state here. Okay, children have issues where they can discern fiction and reality, like Santa, for example.
Yes.
But they have a lot of times where children don't know what's real and what's fake.
Okay.
So I say, let's grab the bull by the horns. So what I present is the concept.
Okay.
So an overemphasis on fictional portrayals of reality can distort their understanding. So let's use that.
I don't understand.
So are you ready?
I'm really scared.
Let's advocate for the education of rebranding certain fiction movies as documentaries.
Wow.
So put your thinking cap on.
Okay.
I think, let this generation finish. Let the ones who just started school finish their school. But starting... Generation X... What we do is we take certain movies mm-hmm. that are fiction.
Mm-hmm.
These could be anything. I have a proposed list.
Yes.
And we tell the kids that this really happened.
Wow.
And we teach it as a documentary. Okay. Like that premiered on the History Channel.
Yeah.
So let's...
Let it be known we also work with children on multiple different occasions.
That doesn't do with me. It has nothing to do with me. First movie, The Hunger Games.
Yes.
So, had Misery been a movie, we would have The Hunger Games. So, let me tell you what I think we should educate this movie as a documentary.
Yes.
First, the graphic violence and portrayal of death.
Okay.
Let them know what's good.
Okay.
So, oppressive government.
Okay.
The children need that. And in this movie, there are great themes like losing loved ones. There's a bleak, oppressive dystopia setting. And also, if we tell the kids this really happened...
Mm-hmm.
Think of how scared they'll be. And how they will not want to go to Panem.
True.
Like, we could, like, change all the world maps to put in the middle of the Atlantic a little island and say, Panem.
Mm-hmm.
And we scare them. It's because true. If imagine we taught this as a documentary.
It's true. And George has used fear upon the masses on multiple occasions. One time, that's actually part of the next segment, but what... One small parenthesis is that one of the children that we worked with did not want to do his work, and George threatened to call the police. And there were faraway sirens showing up. And let me tell you, the kid had fear and then did the work. So it worked out really well.
So movie, I think that should be the first movie. Second movie. Mm-hmm. 2012. We just rebuilt it really fast. So I think... So stupid. I think we showed that.
Just me and you.
I had a hat hard on. It was crazy. It was crazy. So I think we should show the kids 2012 and say, look how much y'all done to the environment. Yeah. You were being born.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were born after this movie. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, look, y'all done messed that up real bad. So we just rebuilt it really fast. Also, it has good education themes. Earthquakes. Think of all the times you've been on a tsunami.
That's true. It's true.
Too many to count, it's really. True.
And the post credits should consist of me and George in front of like a green screen, just with like.
Do you know that Fifth Harmony video?
No.
When they're performing, it was like on Jimmy Kimmel or on Jimmy Fallon.
Just, like, getting a hammer
and there's on a like car. There's like a cat. What do they call those cat trucks?
Okay.
And they're just hitting it.
That's rebuilding it really fast.
Oh, yeah, I think that this should be a good movie. Now, next one, great. Another great mm-hmm. addition, The Meg. Because the ocean is completely crazy. I'm not sure if you've ever seen the ocean.
It's bad.
Insane. It's like, bad. Think of the ocean. And think of the fear that the ocean instills.
Yeah.
So I think... Also, ChatGPT wrote all these bullet points. I'm jump scares and sudden moments of tension.
I hate that.
That's a great thing to teach kids. Because the thing with the Meg is that it's so real it could have happened. It almost did.
What do you mean it almost did?
Because sharks exist. And
some may confuse you
with the shark.
For the Meg. Which, it got me, because right down there, please to eat you.
Yes.
Which is also how you present yourself.
I got lost. I got lost.
It's just, yeah.
So I think if we present the Meg as a documentary and inform the youth of the dangers of the ocean,
mm-hmm.
they
can stop.
They'll stop what?
Stop. They can maybe just stop for
point, once. Point blank. Because imagine telling a kid, okay, if you don't do words so-and-so,
yeah,
or send you to the ocean.
Which is already things that we send.
And you know what's going in the ocean. Your best friend, the Meg.
Yes, it's true. It's true. But they do tend to threaten us back. So I don't know how.
Hence why this would work.
Yes, you're right.
That's why I'm pitching it. The next movie is a little bit of like a left field, but stick your head on. 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh my god!
Listen.
Oh my listen, god.
Listen, put your thinking caps on
here. Oh my god.
We'll show them a bit every year.
George.
No, I listen. Listen to me. Both eyes up here. Both eyes up here. Listen. Look, the movie doesn't start going apeshit until about like 17 minutes. So I think if we show them 2 minutes every year and say, oh, one day, because that way you can teach them about health and stuff.
Oh my god.
Also, it's a good introduction to Dakota Johnson.
Honestly. How does it start? I never watched the movie.
He's just getting ready. He's just...
So it's just...
Well,
so
it does start without...
So for the first, like... 9 years, we're just watching a man getting ready.
And don't tell them anything until they reach like sec three. Like, don't show them.
I see.
Just that, oh, this is a man getting ready. Yeah. And then it's gonna shock them. And when it shocks them,
you stop because you're like, the 2 minutes are up.
2 minutes are up.
Next year.
And this is actually a really good incentive to keep kids in the education system.
Yes.
Because imagine someone in sec four is like, shit, I'm going to quit school. But they're like, I have 3 minutes left
of Dakota Johnson.
And they've been edging me with this movie for the last 15 years.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And then the grand finale is that one clip of her and Ellen DeGeneres where she...
Yeah, there's an after.
There's an after part. And I have to watch that part. It's the best part.
That took out. You have to.
Wow.
Do I have another movie?
It's just Mamma Mia.
And the last movie, Mamma Mia. And I think that we can get away with gaslighting them everyone in Greece. Because don't forget, we're presenting them as documentaries.
You're right.
So tell the kids.
Oh my god.
You know what I mean? Tell them, like, oh, this is, we just went to Greece and they filmed this.
Yeah, you're right.
Think about how many significant mothers in this movie. Meryl Streep. Amanda Seinfeld.
Yes.
Kristen Baranski. Whoever plays Rosie.
I don't know.
Also.
That one man.
Yes.
Sorry.
His brother's it.
Sorry. Yes, but that's not who I was
What's
talking
his
about.
Name?
No, I was talking about the man that had
James
the whole
Bond.
Flash mob in on the beach.
James Bond.
Would your mother know? No, because he sang terribly. He sings, let it be known, and this is a shout out to my mother. Every time James Bond opens his mouth to sing, she would skip the scene because she would get a physical reaction. Because she's like so disgusted by this man singing.
It's Pierce. It's Pierce Bronson.
It doesn't matter. What I was talking about is that one scene of like, does your mother know? You know that one where it's like all the men are.
Yeah. It's Sky. What's his name? It's here.
Okay.
It's Julie Walters.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's Dominic Cooper.
Also, another, this might be a spin-off to your PowerPoint, but we should not only teach these Oz documentaries, but we should green screen ourselves throughout the entire movie.
Insert us in one scene. Just to make it realistic.
You're right.
Like, in the back. Not a speaking role, just like us in the tavern.
I enjoy
while
that.
They're doing...
Yeah, we're playing with like our koboloi, you know.
I see it. I see it.
And for those who don't know what a koboloi is,
don't.
Just put it on.
Stop pointing. That's so much work. Conclusion. I think we should show these movies as documentaries, mostly for the enjoyment of the teaching staff.
Yes.
But it would make them good adults who are so fun, but we're good and responsible.
Question mark.
You know?
I don't.
Think of it.
I don't.
I know.
I'm not sure. It feels like the Stanford prison experiment.
No.
Like, there's something unethical about it, you know?
I think, okay, which movies would you greenlit as documentaries?
The Crown. Like, that is a documentary.
You're not naming documentary.
No, wait, stop.
She's like a life on planet.
Stop it.
Because I had a huge list.
What were your other ones?
Poltergeist.
Oh my god.
Poltergeist has been fun.
That's crazy. Oh my god. You know one horror movie that we watched that completely...
Oh my god.
You know exactly.
My life.
That one really... So,
picture...
No, I know. It's called Martyrs.
Oh my god.
So, George and I like to watch the movies sometimes. And, you know, sometimes we watch like those really, like, you know, easy horror movies. Like a good feel-good horror movie, you know?
Like, by the end, you're like, oh, to be white.
Yeah, you know? And then there was one day that we were like, oh, whatever, let's put a silly little horror movie. And then we put Martyrs. Put it on the screen. It was so traumatizing. The last scene.
First of all, it starts
was
weird.
So graphic. Okay, for those who don't know, like, we can give a small synopsis. I was talking about this with somebody yesterday, which is why I had searched up the synopsis. But it's pretty much this girl with her friend. They go back to this house where she had gotten, like, kidnapped and, you know, like, tortured, you know, as a child. But then she somehow escaped. And then, needless to say, the situation kind of just ends up with this friend now is experiencing what the girl had gone through when she was like a child. But it's just the last final scene. Do we tell him?
Yeah.
You can skip it. Well,
I mean, a martyr is someone who has suffered.
Yes.
Like
me. You and I on many different occasions.
I'm a martyr. Patron saint of the last. Yes, truly.
Yes. But we suffered when we rebuilt after 2012.
Yeah, it was just fast. So this movie, they take this woman and they have her in this prison cell under like a house.
Yeah.
But the movie's crazy because like it goes like they're just eating dinner and then the door opens. Remember that scene?
I don't.
They're eating dinner and then someone rings the doorbell. And in the movie, when someone rings the doorbell, you have mail.
Yes.
This man opens the door and it gets shot.
Oh.
Remember?
I don't. But I believe you.
He gets shot and then like they try to kidnap the girl again and basically have her in the dungeon.
Mm.
And in the dungeon, they torture her every day with like significant levels of torture. Like... they...
like, it's just bad.
I remember that scene where the other girl escaped and they had her, like, nails in her eye. Remember
that? It was disgusting. I, like, blocked that out, honestly. The only scene that is, like, it's seared into my memory is this last scene. And, you know, skip to whoever. But she gets skinned alive.
And then she sees.
And because the thing is that you find out that the reason why they tortured these people is because they want them to become martyrs to figure out what happens after life. Because
a martyr could still be alive and... simultaneously in the afterlife.
Torture them. Disgusting. Let me tell you. And so this person gets skinned alive and you cannot even picture George's and I's reaction when that movie ended. We're just looking at each other. And I went home afterwards. I didn't want to hang out with you anymore. It was so bad. It was kind of like the first time when I was in grade 7 and I watched The Human Centipede for the first time. And it was seared in my memory for weeks afterwards.
So your addition to this is we should... grade 7 intensive. 1 week.
Of just...
as bad. Oh, you know what it should be? It should be like if kids are like... doing bad things, like really bad things. You sit them down in an office, turn on that movie and go, we're sending you to Finland.
And let it be known when we once put a movie when you used to work at a summer camp and the movie was Halloween Town, famously. And some of the kids lost their mind. So just imagine martyrs. Like I was traumatized. Just imagine like a 7-year-old.
But that's a horrible.
But no, Halloween Town, the way we had to console some of these children,
it was insufferably crying.
Holding on to her legs, which is also, sneak peek, part of our That's Where They Fucked Up segment. But needless to say, let's wrap up.
Let's wrap up.
Let's wrap this up, so, please.
Thanks. Any questions?
Any questions?
So again, my pitch for the curriculum revision committee is there should be a separate organization, a separate entity in charge of picking these movies.
Yeah.
And you have to teach them as if they really happened. So I suggested movies, namely 50 Shades of Grey, but that one's just a little bit bigger, that we should teach over the long period of time and gaslight these kids into believing this really happened.
Yes.
I think it could work.
Question, will there be like some point where we tell them it was a prank?
Yeah, in their degree diploma.
Oh, I see.
They open it and there's confetti that comes out.
You know, I knew somebody once. Who,
I don't believe you.
No, I promise. I promise. I knew somebody once who was told his entire life that he was Russian. And then at the ripe age of like 19 years old, he finds out there was not one ounce of Russian blood in this man's veins.
Who told
and
him this?
His grandmother.
She lost it.
For fun.
Is he adopted?
No. Like, he's there. But the thing is that she just one random afternoon, she goes, "You're Russian." He goes, "What? I am?" She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "How come?" She goes, "You see that gun? That's like, that's a Russian gun."
You like it.
And
that couch was a poster by Vladimir Reznikov. And you, and my like love, are...
Years later, and just because she felt like it, and then the whole family was just like, yeah, you're Russian. I froze the whole
just
family.
Just you! Specifically you. We don't know what happened.
We're all Russian. And then he goes, why can't we speak it? He goes, it's okay. It's okay. It's genuinely okay. And then it was like years later, sometime I think in like CJEP or something, that his friends were like, are you sure? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I don't know.
You're a black man. I thought everyone was confused.
Anyways, I don't know where that tangent went off of, but I think that that's really funny.
That's so, I would definitely do that.
What if we also just lie to kids about their nationality and they just have to figure it out?
Toss a coin.
Toss a coin, yeah.
It's like a Hogwarts sorting hat, but yeah, it's a teacher in the back going, eeny, meeny, miny, Scandinavian, you... let's go. Here's a blonde wig.
Yeah, I feel like that could be really good, honestly. Nevertheless, now... Wait, what's the next segment?
We have to take a break.
Break.
So we're going to go on a break. Okay. Be right back to your screens.
I see.
Filma.
There you go.
Yeah, we just had to go shoot some green screen films for Mamma Mia. We were playing trees.
And yes, I tried to go get a snack and I was stopped. Against my will, let it be known. Needless to say. So, the segment.
We are back. So now we are going to do a segment. This segment is in... What class is this in?
Like social studies.
Yeah, like home ec almost.
Like psychology maybe.
Oh yeah, yeah,
maybe
yeah.
We can analyze what happened. I know you told me to find any stories.
Can you announce the segment?
Okay, first? Okay. Now that's where we fucked up. So we're pretty much just stating these stories, and we're just just talking honestly. We're just having a conversation, but
now that's where you fucked up.
We're just kind of talking about, you know, where we went wrong. All of them are rather evident, you know. There's one of them that I also wrote this 5 minutes before we turned on the cameras. But
the original plan, which we'll divert back to eventually, is a historical story or something educational. Like a bank robbery.
Oh, that's
what right now I'm looking at the cabin. Don't you. So I don't know how.
No, I took the don't look at it. Please.
How
I bet.
Left we went.
No, like honestly, I did not go stop. Please stop.
Asked her to open the encyclopedia.
Okay, please let it be known. He texted me last night and he said, these are the talks. Why is there a bald man trying to add me on Snapchat? I did not go through the historical route, nor did I go through the geographic route. I went through just personal stories in my life where I might have fucked up at some point. Some of them include me. Mainly just me. Some of them also include you.
Me as well. Famously, me as well.
Some of them, they're just stories. And we kind of, we'll just be recounting them a little bit to the masses. So.
And again, the point is to pinpoint exactly where the fuckery started.
Which is very.
And how. And what could have been made? What are some constructive criticisms that we can add?
Okay, well, the first one is we can start slowly. It's times where we almost fucked up.
Okay, yes, that's good. I like that. That's good.
Like, lead almost fucked up. So this is where I'm reeling you guys in. So the first one is when we almost went to the Brussels airport instead of the Charlevoix one, and the epiphany came to me while I was on the toilet. So the epiphany. So yes.
Brussels, look at me, Belgium. Eyes up here, both of them.
Yeah.
Your country.
You and your like forks and your roundabouts.
There's three streets in your whole country. Yes. Why do we have two airports?
Yes, it's true. It's literally true.
I can't think. The only smaller country than you is the Vatican.
It's true.
And that's one building.
It's true.
Why are there two airports? And why do they both start with the same word?
Yes, it was bad. It was bad. Because at that point, I was like dragging George all over Europe. Because I was like, we need to see every museum that's ever been existed, looked upon, contemplated about. Like, every single one. The first night we had gone, maybe 5 hours of sleep on the plane. ABBA night. We went to the ABBA concert in London. So it's like, all right, we had no. And then the second evening, we left at 1:30 in the morning to catch the flight. You know what I mean? So it's like, we weren't even really there.
After your 700th painting in Europe, you're like, oh, another portrait.
I enjoyed it. No, I really did enjoy it. And so, yes. it was just, especially in Italy, I feel like that was a good time for me.
Well, yeah.
He was just a dead man, though. But it was so much fun, honestly. But
that's a good one. Maybe. Yeah, always, that's a good tale. Always look at the airport.
yeah.
that you're flying out of.
Maybe.
This is also very true in Florida, because Florida, there's 7 airports.
Oh my God.
And 6 kilometers.
Oh my God.
Like, the Miami airport and the Fort Lauderdale airport are like a 35-minute drive.
Wow. No, that's crazy. But
you can fly from one to the next.
That's crazy. What?
It's a Taylor Swift flight. It's a 30 second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's from the bleachers to like the middle of the Super Bowl court. But yes. And the thing is, we were obviously like tired, but we were here for a good time, you know. And where the epiphany did come to me.
Where did we fly into? I forgot.
What do you mean? What did we fly? We flew into Nice.
We did fly into.
Flew into Nice. But the thing is that, so the epiphany kind of came afterwards. We were like at a bar outside. And then I was like, what? Where are we going? Because we had to leave literally the following morning. And I think at that point it was like 11 o'clock at night and we had to leave at maybe 6. And I looked at George and I said, are we sure? And then we saw the tickets. We were like, shit, it's Charlevoix. But we did not know where Charlevoix was. So you have to understand that 30-second gap.
It's all French to me.
Yeah, that 30-second gap of when George typed it into Google Maps and it zoomed out, zoomed back in quickly. And it could have been in a different country.
Honestly, I'm joking.
And our hearts dropped.
Samantha, we're going to Sydney,
Australia. It was so bad. And we had no clue if we would have had to leave like 2 hours ago at that point. It's okay. It all got figured out.
Because again, Belgium is literally a little teensy country, and every corner there's a pub.
Yes.
So
it was a good time.
You can bar hop to the airport. And you'll
also
be there in 6 minutes.
Also, Brussels, thank you so much. The only time I've ever enjoyed beer. Oh, I
Kriek.
Yes. So I really enjoyed the beer there because usually I do not. And
because it's fun.
It was fun. And it was red. It was a color. It was great. It was great.
Fun beer.
It was a fun beer. It was like a cherry beer. And the name is Kriek. And then we went to another bar. Stop reading. Look at me. My eyes are here. And then we went to another bar like the following day. And I go, I would like some Kriek. And then the bartender goes, we do not have Kriek, but we have Quack.
Yes.
I go, Quack. I was like, they're fucking with me. Anyways.
They just make sounds there.
Yeah, but it was a good time. It was a good time. Okay, so honestly, in the entirety of Brussels, where we fucked up was the seafood. That was bad. I thought Brussels was known for their good seafood. Sorry, I went to another page. Sorry, put the Portland building by Michael Graves.
It's
a building, don't worry.
Don't worry.
Sorry, just put it there, they get it. Anyways, that's a whole other segment. Oh my God, the whole other segment has to be like the culinary arts throughout that we've gone to. But
I can do a whole one just on salad.
So anyways, we'll talk about that afterwards. But so then the phone, very short segment, because I don't like to talk about the Italians for too long.
So,
but the time we arrived at 5 in the morning in Florence.
Never do a morning flight.
So where?
It's horrible.
It wasn't even a flight. It was a bus. That was the other mistake.
That's where you fucked up. Never a bus in Europe that is going to kill you. And never arrive 6.5 hours
before
pre-Airbnb
check-in.
It was bad. Because really you'll instantly regret it. Because you know what it is? It's you see on TikTok these Australian people, and they have their backpacks with like 3 bikinis inside, and that's it.
And a thong.
And then they arrive to a place, and they're like, amazing, we're going to go to the beach.
Yes.
When me and Samantha arrive,
no, it was bad.
I need to decompress. I need to fumigate.
We look like political refugees, honestly. It was bad. So bad. I was sweating from every orifice all the time. I was sunburned, and then sunburned on top of the sunburn, which I didn't even know was
like,
possible.
They hop off the trolley, you know, like, we're gonna go so and so.
You know where we fucked up is thinking that we were healthy people. You know what I mean? Thinking that we could walk that much. It was bad.
I'm not a traveler. I'm not taking a backpack again. It's not gonna happen. I'm telling you.
Oh.
When you arrive somewhere, I literally need to lie down. I need a baby powder in my whole body.
It's bad.
I need to coat myself in Vaseline.
It's bad. But, and maybe it's more of like a Stockholm syndrome thing, but I would do it again. I enjoyed it.
Never if I ever.
I enjoyed.
Never. See, that's where you fucked up.
It was bad. But I think where
I
we fucked
for
up.
My mistakes.
I think where we fucked up was going to Florence instead of like somewhere like Sicily. Like we needed a beach. I think you and me, we needed a beach.
You need to be bathing in water.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this is the cabbage story. I don't think I've told anybody this in a really long time.
I would love to hear the cabbage
story. So when I was like 10, we went to Cuba and we went to see like It's like a sushi place. And the guy is there. He's making the sushi, whatever.
In the resort?
In the resort, yeah. And everyone's, like, asking. It's, like, he's, like, bringing out, like, these exotic foods, you know, that, like, I haven't seen in Canada, you know?
Cabbage. The exotic food in question, like, red cabbage.
So everyone's asking me, and he's, like, oh, this is that, this is it. And I wanted to feel included. So I go, what's that? And he looks at me and goes, cabbage. That was, without a doubt, the most embarrassing moment of my life. Because I was already fatter than I already am.
That traumatized you.
It was bad. It was bad. It was, you know, to think that, like, 11 years later, it's still a prominent thought in my mind. It's really, like, I really fucked up. She
just wants to be included.
You know where Scootup was opening my mouth. Also, opening my mouth to eat, but also to speak. Because it was bad. It was really not a good time. So now...
It's cabbage.
Like, it's... I remember that so
good. It is cabbage.
It was cabbage.
He didn't lie. No one lied.
It was, and that was the only time I spoke that entire evening. You know? I was like, fair, it is cabbage. You know what? You're so right.
He exclusively gave you cabbage after. He exclusively gave you cabbage
after. It was so bad. It was so stupid.
Okay, anyway. I'm going to include a question here that I said during my book club.
Oh.
Because I go to a book club. We'll get to that. But
yeah.
And I said this story. And everyone was pissing and hooping and hollering. I forgot how funny this story was.
Okay.
It was when I was in British Columbia.
Okay.
And we went horseback riding. I for sure told you this.
You absolutely told me this.
Okay. So the first thing is, you have to know. I probably weighed 1,000 pounds. Like, give or take.
It was bad. Put a picture of George when we met each other. Like,
there was a camera following me around for a TLC special.
Wait, can you find that newspaper clipping of Greek dads?
Yes.
We're, like, next to each other. Put that on the screen. That's what we need.
Okay, so this is where I fucked up. Okay, I went horseback riding. First red flag. They made us line up by weight.
Yes.
So my best friend at the time was first in row. I was behind the teachers. Yes. Okay, so just imagine that.
Everyone was also like 13 years old.
Yeah, yeah. And I was behind the staff. Okay, I was... My first friend was like at the horseback riding line. I was at the nearest McDonald's. That's how far I was, okay? And then the first group gets ponies. Okay?
Yeah.
And their names are like Fluffy and like Donut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
Butterfly. Like
Butterfly.
Chicken Wings.
Yeah. And then as the kids get more mature, you know, people have just hit puberty, they get horses, like a normal sized horse named like Bob. This is William the horse. Like
That's Peter. Yeah, bring him on.
An actual horse. The teaching staff get horses. Everyone got a goddamn horse. And then they get to me and the girl just goes, as if she's trying to estimate if I'm over or under a certain threshold. And she just decides, if I'm thinking it, put him over. And she goes, we're going to have to get Tonka.
It's true.
And she said, I go, Tonka? And then this horse comes in from the back. And this horse looked like he hasn't seen light since at least the second war.
It's true.
And he was massive compared to the other horses.
Let it be known, also, all the other horses shared the same, like, staple. You know, Tonka had his own mansion. Like, Tonka had to be secluded from everybody else because he was a danger to society, you know?
They bring this massive horse. And this, he was not alive. And to this day, I swear it was his last day on earth because he saw me went, oh, we're not, neither of us are making it out of this situation. So I get on Tonka's back. And I want to imagine we're in this open field and all the ponies are riding and everyone's majestic. And Tonka's doing two steps and going, like, just, this is about, like, he just can't be bothered. And then, I always forget to add this, but it was so funny. The guy comes and he goes, do you want a carrot? And I said, I would love a carrot. It's for the horse. I thought he was...
not add that. He's so stupid.
And I was like, I would love a carrot.
You're so
dumb. I would love a little baby. And it was like, I was like, a carrot.
That's so...
And then I was like, okay, I'll give the carrot. Needless to say, we did not go far. Everyone went on their horseback journey. We stayed local, eating our baby carrots and hummus.
Wow.
So I think that story, I fucked up.
Wow.
When I thought...
Yeah.
I could go horseback riding, and I have never gone to this day.
Well, because there was that whole other story afterwards, which was when you guys... when you guys went through a hike through, like, a national park and, like, right before the flight, like,
yes.
And then people fell to the ground.
Oh, yeah, they put us on bikes, and the way Vancouver works, it's basically just wood or crackheads. Like, you have, pick your options.
Or, like, opium. Crackheads in the wood.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
And they put us on these bikes, and they said, have fun in the, no GPS, nothing. Have fun, go on these, like, I was like, oh, it's a park. It's, like, a normal-sized park.
My, keep in mind, George couldn't even sit on, like, a horse on steroids.
No, so.
Let alone a flimsy piece of metal. We were both on ketamine.
Like.
Yes.
They put us on these bikes, and they go in the forest. Go in the woods. Unbeknownst to me, the park led to the forest. So, we're riding, and suddenly we're in thick wood, no GPS on. And that whole experience was traumatic because we have a flight like in a couple hours.
Yeah.
And everyone is lost in Vancouver. Some people made it back home. They actually rode, they went so far, they yes. came back.
Yes. But yeah, no, apparently just one of his friends like fell and then got really hurt.
Oh yeah, everyone fell. Everyone of the mothers fell. The teachers were coming out like of the woods just like out of breath. Like, have you seen Billy? Like, forget was, Billy.
Forget
Billy.
Think about me. I'm think like, about me.
Call Billy's family. I've never seen Billy.
It's bad. It was bad. So let me finish my short little Please. Stories of stop looking. Please. Stop it. So it was, this is gonna start. So the time we sent the kids to Super Rocka Club and we almost lost a few to hypothermia. So what happened was George and I worked at a summer camp and we were supposed to go to like, what is it called?
Like the tubing, like where the slides are, the
yeah.
like an outdoor amusement park.
Yes, exactly. Summer. For during the summer. And at that day, it was like, what was it, 5 degrees?
It was middle of July snowing.
It was really, really bad weather, you know? And then George called the boss and said, can we reschedule? And he said, no, no. The 90-year-old bus driver with dementia is already on his way. And so we went because we said, we're going. We have to now.
Went at the Aqua Club.
Yes, we went to the Aqua Club. And the kids in their bathing suits went out to the water. We almost lost a few. They had blue lips.
It was, you know what?
It was bad.
You know, people do thermal plunges where they'll cut a hole in like a frozen lake.
Nose. Yes.
We did that in the middle of July.
It was so
with
bad.
Children.
And the part, this is the bonus, our smallest child. Wait. So this is gonna be the surprise. So there was one part of this little like amusement thing that was like 5 stories of just like slides of like
it's
in
like
and
a,
out.
It's like an outside jungle gym.
Yes.
So every floor has obstacles and sometimes you turn, there's a dead end and there's like a ladder to go up or a rope to go up or...
Or there's like, you know, buckets on other levels where it's like kids can throw shit like, at you.
When you're
like,
inside, you have visibility for 2 seconds at a time
yeah.
before you get waterboarded.
Yeah, literally.
So you better go fast.
So the thing is, we obviously, because it was so cold and we were going to lose a few of them, we're genuinely worried. We were like, okay, we'll bring them to the jungle gym because at least that's in proximity to, I don't know.
The hot dog stand. Where you would be able to
quite
find the
internet. Quite literally. So, you know, we sent the kids loose. But the thing is that there's no way to send them loose and keep an eye on, like, 17 children at once. So it was more like, send them loose and make a prayer that we're going to count all of them back.
I was like, team up, but it doesn't have to be with a real person or someone in the camp.
It's quite literally
find a friend.
Find a friend. Find a stranger offering you candy at that point. I don't know.
But if he has candy, send him to me.
Send him to me because, you know.
Especially if he has chocolate too
much. Yes. So after, I think 15 to 20 minutes, we were like, okay, we need to round them up again. But the thing is, so we're counting them. And I think at that point, we had to count up to, like, what was it? Like, 16 kids or something? No. How many? Like, 12?
Yeah, we had like, a smaller number then. We didn't have 1,000 kids.
We didn't have 1,000 kids because, God forbid, we had to deal with 1,000
no,
kids.
No, we can barely deal with one.
But we were missing one child, okay? That one child was, I don't know, do we... is it...
Like, the size... they recently found aliens in Mexico who are just dried up
and
stingray.
She and that's was my favorite kid. She was so quiet. She was the diversity in that entire... Honestly, because we said it. So she was my favorite one. She was so sweet. She was like quiet all the time. So God forbid we lose her. She would not scream for help because we could hardly hear her whisper.
Oh my God, you know what it is? It's that pitch perfect girl that's completely mute. You know what I'm talking about? Where no. She like doesn't, she's like an aging
girl.
Put
her on the screen.
the people know. And she doesn't speak and she's like,
oh,
you're talking about?
Maybe.
Oh my God, let me show you.
But anyways, so we lost her and we're like, where is she?
It's a girl.
Oh!
It's her.
Yes, but I love her. I literally, she was my favorite kid in the summer camp, but we lost her. We go, where is she? And we're there, and so George, we go through, and at that point, they had evacuated the entire jungle gym, and we couldn't understand why they were evacuating the jungle gym.
There was a state of emergency.
We couldn't understand what it was. So George and I were running in, and the lifeguards are screaming, get out, get out. We're like, no, we lost our kid.
And you should imagine, screaming. Me and Samantha, on the coldest day of the season,
it was so
running
bad.
Levels,
getting
climbing
water.
Mission Impossible, water in our face, in my ears.
It was so bad. It was so bad. We couldn't even
see.
It was so bad because we were getting attacked. We were getting genuinely attacked. On every front, my ears were plugged. Okay, it was bad. And then I get to the top and I find this girl and she's sitting paralyzed. Okay, she's just, and she's staring at something. And I turn the corner. What is she staring at? A piece of shit. Right? Because she is standing right in front of
her. A turd in the water.
A turd in the water. She is standing right in front of the slide.
An aqua turd.
She is standing right in front of a slide that will allow her to escape the jungle gym. But she is so paralyzed with fear because between her and the slide, it is a piece of shit.
She can't do it.
And she couldn't do anything.
And she didn't take it because it was bigger than her.
It's obviously. And I had to hold her and we had to go down. And then we found out that the reason why they evacuated everybody was because of a biohazard. But we didn't know that. Anyways. So that's
why we look like this.
Yeah.
We're exposed.
Where we fucked up was getting that job.
Number
first
one.
Of all. And then
it boils down to leaving the house.
And now the complete, you know, the juxtaposition to that would be when we almost lost them to the sun. So we almost lost them to the cold. We also,
all the elements. We went through the Avatar saga and 2 months.
It was, we almost lost all of the kids to the sun as well because George and I had the amazing idea of putting up a lemonade stand to get funds, which honestly I think was the most thoughtful choice that we had, the most thoughtful decision we made.
If there's one thing about us, we are going to make a business decision based on calories.
Exactly.
And the calories in question were lemonades.
Because there was not a crazy amount of there weren't, you know, we couldn't even buy a soccer ball for these poor kids. So we were like, let's get funding. And we got funding and we did an amazing job. And we had the kids out on the corner of the boulevard with their little signs.
Teaching them from young.
Teaching them from young. Which is another thing, is teaching them being business people. You know what? And then at the end,
a couple of them are going to end up there. And we're just showing them what it's like. This is where you stand. This is the sign you hold. You put the little cup out. You say, hello. Hello, mister. Would you like to give me some money? Because I don't have a home to get back to. And I'm wearing one sock. And I have crack on the other one. And I can't. I don't know where I'm at. But please. A little bit of money.
I was like, I'm business people. No. No. Anyways. But no, they were good business people. They did a great job. And then we got a lot of funding for them. And then we got them a magician and we got them a bouncy castle. And the magician shocked us as well, honestly. I was shocked.
Guys, magic is so underrated. Guys, Where did it go?
It was, honestly, the magician made one of our kids levitate.
We're still looking
for genius.
If you see a little Greek boy floating about, you can
hovering, hovering in your direction. You know the magician did not finish their act, but no, they loved it. They ate it up. And
we did.
Wait. Oh, okay. We're going to skip Halloween in the middle of July. We'll say that another time. But this is the last part. I didn't get a chance to write. George and the, okay? So.
I don't know what that is.
It's okay. I know exactly what that is. So what happened? You'll know this one. Was when we were working at the camp together and then my sister finished her shift earlier and I went and dropped her off.
Oh my God.
And I went and I dropped her off. And while I was gone, George texts me. He goes, I want a snack. Cut me a salad. And I go, okay, I'll cut you a salad.
So mean.
Literally.
People are like, can I have a granola bar? I'm like, filet mignon.
Yeah, literally. So I cut the salad because he bullied me enough and I did it. And then I come back and I see George in the middle of this gym filing his nails and around him are all the kids screaming, crying, ready to throw up, okay? Because, and they're latching onto my legs and they're screaming and they're crying and they're begging me to like drive them back home and I'm like, what happened? And they just keep screaming 70% in my face. So I was like, did George teach them a statistics class while I was gone? I was gone for 27 minutes. 27 minutes. I was gone for 27 minutes. And I found out that while I was gone, there was like an Amber Alert. Not an Amber Alert, but it was like an emergency alert.
They were looking for a tornado.
No.
Have you spotted our tornado?
So there was an alert. And then George took it upon himself to sit down all these kids out of boredom? I don't know. Out of like a social experiment?
No. The phone said there's a 70% chance
yes.
of a tornado.
No, there was no 70%. George sat down these kids and he said, So I have some bad news for you. There's a tornado that's coming our way. And there's a 70% chance we won't make it. End of quote. So these kids thought this household was under attack.
Perso, I never said that. Perso, what I said was, there's a tornado. 70% of the tornadoes I've encountered have been bad.
That's true. So these poor kids, and we had to calm them down. And at the end, George's fat ass didn't even get the salad. I gave it to the kids. That's true. I gave it to the kids to calm them down. And at least, yes. And at least the following day, the kids, they were like, you know, we survived a tornado. And they were very proud of themselves. Some of them, you know, slightly more disheveled than others.
Hate storms now.
But, oh my God, that was so bad. Anyways, so where do you think we fucked up with that?
Honestly, I didn't fuck up. Because I refuse. Because I taught them a number. I said, look, there's a tornado and so on. So maybe I sure enough said they're all going to die. Mm-hmm. But I also didn't say they're all going to die. Don't look at that.
What are you looking at?
I didn't say they're going to die. I just said that people die in tornadoes. Like, I was teaching them. It was more of like, okay, maybe I should have been a little more sensitive. At the time, I was also leaving for Puerto Canada the next day.
It's true.
So I didn't care, really.
It's true. Oh my God.
Anyways, that was that segment.
Yes.
We're going to go on break, and we'll be back with the last segment. So, next segment is called How to Distract Ryanair from the Carry-On Limit. And it is going to be an in-depth... I'm actually just going to talk about my Miami trip. Because I haven't had the chance to see you since Miami.
It's true.
And boy, do things happen when I leave the state.
I'm really worried.
First thing, I get to Miami. Miami airport, okay. Every airport I've been to, when you exit the flight, there are different food establishments you can go to. There's an IHOP, there's a McDonald's, there's a Wendy's. Mm-hmm. The Miami airport, there are 17 liquor shops before you see food. And I hadn't eaten. It was like 3 o'clock and I was going delirious. Uh-huh. So didn't see any food things. I literally grabbed one granola bar from the vending machine and I got on the Uber.
Oh my God.
And I was trying to communicate to this Uber if you can do a drive through.
You speak the same language.
No, listen.
What do you mean?
So I go, do you mind if we just stop at like a McDonald's quickly? Like just add it to the, I mean, I was like, add it to the tab, like, but you're driving. You haven't, like, it'll know. Like, you know, yeah. And he just goes, he just nods his head. And I was like, oh, maybe he doesn't speak English. Yeah. The other language is Spanish here.
Yeah.
So this is me trying to say, I said, por favor, yo quiero comer. I don't know, like, I was just like...
yo quiero dinero.
No, and then you just
I was just like, separa calor. No, because I'm speaking Greek.
No, I literally was like, quiero agua, ni quiero...
liquor?
Liquor. I was like, miam, miam, like, I was like, mi cadena, like, I don't know.
Did he speak Spanish?
And then he goes, and I was like, oh. I was like, maybe he's mute.
Oh.
And then I was like, what do they speak? I was like, no.
They don't.
I was like, cut the mic. I was like, they look... So I just sat there starving. My stomach was grumbling. And after I left, he just was like, And then when I was rating him, you can see sometimes like the other
reviews.
And the one just said nonverbal. And I was like, it wasn't just with me.
Okay.
Great driver, beautiful Honda Civic.
Okay.
Not for me.
Okay, I see.
But it was just unverbal. The next thing was that the way Miami is organized, there's South Beach and there's North Beach.
Okay.
And the more north you go, the richer it gets, the more conservative it gets.
Okay.
So the area that I was staying in is called Surfside.
Okay.
And it is, it's like very, very, very Orthodox Jew.
Oh.
So everyone that lives there is Orthodox Jew. All the restaurants are kosher. All the pastry shops are kosher. Like, it is crazy Orthodox Jew. So when I got there,
okay,
I did not, first of all, I didn't see a woman's knees until day 6 when I left North Beach. Everyone, beautiful lace French rings, just a blunt bob, beautiful hats. I'm going to put a picture of what I left the house in. I left the house in a suggestion of a top.
Oh, wow.
And the smaller shorts I had. Because the weather was... when I landed in Miami, I literally said, have I flown directly into the month of July?
Wow.
Because it was sweltering hot. Like, no... like I was like, oh, we're close to the ocean. Nothing. It was just so hot.
Yeah.
So I was... like, sweating. And these girls are wearing... these women, I should say, they're wearing... because they have 45 kids.
Yeah.
They're wearing, they have schools behind them. They're wearing, like, a full button-up, a hat, three jackets.
Yeah.
I was like, there's... I think there's a point between I'm demure. I'm reserved.
Yeah.
And I'm in the middle of the tundra, and they really passed that line.
And you were like the like side like hooker. Like you were.
Yes. Because they were looking at me like, what is this man wearing? And I was like, it is 36 degrees outside.
What were you doing in that neighborhood?
It was just where my Airbnb was. So I was trying to walk to a Publix to get some water because the hotel lady was like, don't drink the water. It makes people sick.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, enough said. Yeah. Don't need to be a part of that. So that was it. The first night I stayed in, I ordered, I had like, because I had a daily spending budget because it was a work trip. And I hadn't spent any money yet because I just didn't spend money because there was no food. So I ordered $100 of Chinese takeout.
Wow.
So I set it all up. I made a little buffet. Mm-hmm. And I was watching a documentary on murder.
The Meg.
Just about.
The Meg, 50 Shades of Grey, followed by...
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And I was watching this murder documentary. I think it was called Night Stalker. It's on Netflix. And one of the main clues they have is this guy's shoe print. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the shoe print was like one of the rare things and it was in the 80s and they tracked it down to the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. And then they brought it here and they realized there was only X many pairs of this size and mm-hmm. they found out there was like one that was sold in the area that the murders happened and they managed to find. Anyways, okay. So like the shoe print was the whole thing. And this is where I got the idea. I was like, I cannot commit a murder. Because if they look, they're going to go, either George was here or Bigfoot. Yeah. Someone,
it's true.
Whoever killed the Best family, it was the size is definitely an 18 pound tooth. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
It's like, you know how the same way, like, you know, like drag queens get custom made shoes. George needs to get custom made shoes for just a normal shoe. Like it doesn't even need to be a stiletto heel.
No, it's nothing. It's just like a sketch.
Put a picture of his shoe.
Put a picture right of the Bigfoot. So I was like, wow, I'm really screwed. Like I wasn't considering a murder, but now it's really off the table because they're gonna look at that shoe print and go.
And go.
I wonder who was here.
It's gonna either be George. It's gonna either be like three people in a cloak. Like, one on top of each other, you know? What size... Like, let's give him a visual. Like, what size shoe are you?
I'm the biggest pair I have is, like, a 17 Doc Martin.
That's crazy.
And they're made big. Like, they're the base is made huge.
Yeah.
So, it's like a Noah's Ark type situation. Like, you can fit half of the Jewish people in the front. And they can just sail along to wherever they go. And I don't know where they go, but...
So bad. You could fit the whole, like, basketball team of children, you know? That's crazy.
And then I would, like, talk about food now. I know...
I'm hungry. Kay. He's not letting me eat until we finish this episode.
We're almost, I promise. I have two more talking points.
Okay.
Flanagan's.
What are Flanagan's?
Flanagan's is a chain restaurant in America that serves American food. It's very Applebee style. It's very junk. It's not. It's like a sit-down restaurant, and it's Irish-themed. Mm-hmm. And again, me and my coworker, we went there, and I opened the menu. And first of all, the number one thing that stood out, the graphics. Mm. The font is font, because there's at least 1,000 things on the menu. Okay. It's font 8,
okay.
And there are bright blue graphics in the back.
Okay.
With, if you tilt the page, there's different designs. Like there's holographic diorama things. It's crazy. There's also jokes inside the menu. Like, okay. It'll be like French fries, £3, yeah, and an extra one for the mom. It's like
French fries. Let me French your fries.
Yeah, no, there was like stand up jokes. I wasn't understanding. And we ordered $200 of food because, again, we had budget for the day.
Okay.
And we ate, like, I've never eaten before. We had 7 types of shrimp on the table, 3 types of fries. Like, it was a crazy spread. And the whole time I was eating this, no one was shocked. I was like, if I try to pull this here, they would be like, sir, you need to leave.
That's
like,
crazy.
They're like, yeah, you want more? They're like, take the cup to go.
I mean, we know this because when we went to, what was it, Plattsburgh?
Yes.
You ordered a large and it was the size of my forearm.
It's true.
You know, it was, there's a picture of me somewhere with my little Russian hat and my little like Subway cup. It was crazy.
So Flanagan's, recommend if you're in the Miami area.
It's true.
Last talking point of Miami trip, because a lot of things happened but I can't say them here because I signed an NDA. The South Beach Bodies. So we went to South Beach, which is like where all the celebrities are, where all the people are like doing things. They have what I can only refer to as exhibitionist workout spots.
Oh.
It's a beach.
Okay.
Think of a beach. You've seen the beach.
I've seen it.
In the middle of the beach, there's this like carved out green area mm-hmm. that has an outdoor gym.
Mm-hmm.
And people just work out.
Yes.
Outside.
Yes.
What the fuck? If you ever see me there,
like,
I've been taken.
Beautiful, supple, athletic bodies.
I've been taken. I was also talking to people there, and they were like, oh, do you want to take, like, they were like, oh, like, most of us post, like, shirtless pictures every day on our Instagram story.
Okay.
I was like, if I posted a shirtless Instagram, I would get...
First of all,
no one in Japan would be safe. Second of all, you would instantly call me and say, have you been taken hostage? Blink twice.
It's true. Which, let it be known, when George has posted a picture of me that was so unflattering, I had people that I haven't spoken to in a year send it to me and laugh.
What picture was it?
You know exactly what picture it was. Because then I texted her afterwards why would you do that? And you replied, it's not my fault you look that way. I go, why would you do that?
Oh, there you go.
It's the picture where you're celebrating your fucking Costco-sized sheet cake. And it looks like my neck is protruding from the rest of my face.
Her neck has a neck.
And it was so bad. Double cheeks. I see. It's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. It, what's not okay is that the picture is still up. It's still up.
It's going to be documentary. It's documentary proof.
I have pictures of you with your stomach out.
Oh my God.
I'm just, let it be known. And the next PowerPoint for next week is going to be PowerPoint where George looks like shit. And we're gonna deconstruct why he was at his worst point.
Truncate,
resuscitate, and restate. Yes. Kamala Harris, thank you so much.
Yes, so we would like to thank you. If you're still watching, God bless. We would like to thank you for attending this week's Curriculum Revision Committee meeting.
Subscribe to the channel and listen to the audio-only version wherever you get your fine podcast.
And leave us a review if you're literate. Thank you. And we'll see you next time.
At the Revision Curriculum Committee.
American Society.
Thank you.
Dead poets. Stupid.